you so much, choir. Great to see you all today and to worship the Lord together in this place. And if you have your Bible, let's look at John chapter 10 today. And while you're turning there, I'll just say honored to wear the Rider's shirt this day. And you see a lot of folks wearing their black, their Richland Creek Riders, the 5-8 shirts. And that's just to remind us to be praying for our Richland Creek Riders and those who are down in Daytona. There's a bike week going on down there. And this is a sending church, sending those out to go and proclaim the good news. And this reminds us to be praying for those who are sent out. And it also reminds us to be faithful, to be sent out throughout this week, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, to be about the Father's business. Amen? We want to be about the Father's business. And as long as we are a church that teaches the Word, that is a church given over to prayer and to communicating and proclaiming the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ to a lost, dark, and dying world, the Lord will bless. I promise you that. And so it's just an honor to see people driving out in their motorcycles and trucks and heading down to a place where there is much sin and much darkness. But in the midst of that, we talk about a God who forgives, a God who is full of grace, a God who is full of mercy, a God who is able to save completely all who come to Him through faith. Amen? And that is the God that we worship this day. And so I see a lot of folks here today, a lot of folks that are under the age of 10 and even over the age of 80, and I'm praising the Lord to see you today. Praise the Lord. It is good to praise the Lord. Amen? And so here we are, and we get to have the blessing of opening up God's Word in front of us today. If you're visiting with us, keep on coming. Bring your Bible. That's the Word of God, not the opinions of men. And that's what we're interested in. We want to hear what God has to say. So many voices in the world that we live in today. We want to hear what God has to say. For God always tells us the truth. Amen? God tells us the truth. He tells us what we need to hear. And how many of you know that sometimes that steps on our toes? And there may be something you hear from this passage of Scripture today that bothers you. It offends you. But I promise you, it's the truth. It's God's Word. And so sometimes our thinking's a little twisted. Maybe we've believed a lie of the world or something we wanted to hear. God's Word is always straight. Here's what we're going to do every time we gather together corporately on the weekend, Sunday, Saturday night. We're going to press ourselves up against the Word of God. And as we do, it'll shape our thinking to think biblically, to think in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. And that way we have right understanding about our own lives, our families, our church, and the world that we live in. So you, listen, make a commitment to be here on Sunday morning when we gather together corporately. Make a commitment to be doing the Lord's will. There's so many other opportunities this world will give you. You do the Lord's work. You be committed to His ways. Now, you know that as we preach from the Word, we go line by line. We're not going to miss a thing. We go through the books of the Bible. Why is that important? That way we understand the context in which the Lord is writing. And very important today, we're going to see that the Lord is going to give us an illustration, a story. And if you just picked it up in verse 10, you wouldn't understand that it's building off of what just took place in chapters 8 and 9. And so it's very important to keep with the context that the author, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is writing to us. And so that's why we go line by line. We don't do what I refer to as cafeteria theology. Have you ever been to the cafeteria? Oh, some of my greatest memories. When I was a child, go to the cafeteria, there's all the vegetables. And I just skip right on through that. And by the time my tray was empty, I'm almost at the register, but just in time, dessert time. And I'd put on all the desserts onto the tray and check out. That's not a good way to do theology. It's not a good way to walk with the Lord. In other words, just turning to the pages where God is love. Well, it's true, God is love, but there's a lot more to the scripture than that. We want the whole counsel of God's word, right? Well, sometimes we want the whole counsel of God's word. But it's good for us to take in the vegetables of God's word, so we want the whole counsel of God's word. Let me just recap real quickly where we came from last time we were together in chapter 9. In chapter 9, we saw Jesus perform a miracle. He healed a man who was born blind. Do you remember that? When Jesus would spit in the ground and he would take the and make a mud paste and he anointed the man's eyes. And he told him to go and to wash in the pool of Siloam. And the man obeyed. The man did what the Lord said. Good start. And he washed and he received his sight. And the religious leaders and the Pharisees, who were a prominent part of the story, they were real happy for him, right? Not at all. They were angry, demanding to know, how did this happen? And the man, he didn't know a whole bunch of theology or anything. All he knew is what he told them. Listen, I was once blind, but now I see. Sometimes our stories are that way. You know, people come in with all these complex arguments. You can say, listen, I don't know about all that, but I do know what Jesus did for me. I once was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found. And Jesus opened his eyes and he sees. And the Pharisees, as we'd already seen, they've been trying to kill Jesus. They've been trying to trap him. They had already said that if anybody believes Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, that they would be kicked out of the synagogue, that they would be put out of the temple. And so they were threatening people. Don't believe this man. You remember they had testified about themselves? The Pharisees, these religious leaders, said to the officials, have any of us Pharisees believed upon him, Jesus? No. They were condemning themselves. And they spoke very harshly to this man who was once blind. And they said, who did this? He said, Jesus, I already told you. Do you want to be his disciples too? And man, he got them fired up. The Pharisees kicked him out. They cast him out. They said, you will have no part of our religious system. He'd been blind and begging. What did he know? No loss for him. Jesus came back to him and he said, do you believe the Son of God? He said, Lord, who is he? Jesus said to the man who was once blind, the one who you now see, the one who's talking to you that you hear, that's me. And he claimed to be the Son of God. He claimed to be God the Son, the Messiah. And the response of this man was, Lord, I believe. And I'm telling you, believing in the Lord makes all the difference. He said, Lord, I believe. And also, the man worshiped Jesus Christ. Jesus had already said, worship the Lord your God and serve him only, that we are to worship God only. This man worshiped Jesus, and Jesus received his worship because Jesus is God. Now, the Pharisees, they were there. Some of them heard this, and they said, what are you saying? Are we blind also? Jesus said, you've said it. Yeah. And because you claim to see and because you've heard the truth, you're guilty and your sin abides upon you. Your sin remains. Listen, we've heard the truth too. God is calling you and I to respond to the truth. It's not simply story time at Richland Creek, where we sit in and we hear a story. God is calling you to respond to his word. Now, it's in that context that Jesus begins speaking here. If you go to a church and they're in one chapter this week, a different chapter, different book, you're not going to get the flow. So you would not understand when Jesus says here in chapter 10, verse 1, most assuredly I say to you, who is the you? It's the Pharisees. He's talking to them. He's answering their question. So Jesus said, most assuredly, very important. I want you to understand right now that what he's saying is very important. Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, and he's speaking to the Pharisees. Now, if you look at verse 6, you'll understand that what Jesus is about to share is an illustration, an analogy, and a story. And he's going to use these three different characters, if you will. The good shepherd, the true shepherd of the sheep, which is Jesus in the story, and the false teachers, the false shepherds, the ones who are the thieves and the robbers who are coming in to steal and to kill and destroy. And then there are the sheep. Now in this story, like it or not, we're the sheep. And how many of you have ever seen a sheep before? You're going to look deep into the eyes of a sheep, and the lights are on, but nobody's home. They are not the smartest creatures. And we can make fun of sheep, then we go, uh-oh, we're sheep. And sometimes we're dumb. But praise the Lord, if the sheep will follow that one attribute that God gave them, they follow the shepherd, and the shepherd's going to provide for them, and he's going to protect them. And the sheep are gifted because they can hear the voice and discern who their master is. They can hear the voice of their shepherd. So Jesus said in this story now, I say to you, the Pharisees, he or the one who does not enter the sheepfold, that is the place where the sheep are kept, a sheepfold, where the sheep are kept. Now sometimes the shepherd would gather a bunch of briars and thickets and make a fence, a temporary fence, and a place where they could go in and out, and he would stand at the door, lay across the door. Sometimes he would lead them at night into a cave, and that way they would be safe from predators or even from wandering away, and he would lay across and serve as the door so that anybody who came through him would be legit, or he would keep out the bad guys. Sometimes there would be sticks or stacked up rocks laying around the sheepfold, the place where the sheep were kept. And he says, now the one who does not enter the sheepfold by the door or the gate, but instead climbs up some alternate way, the same as a thief or a robber. What's the difference between a thief and a robber? A thief comes in by stealth, a robber comes in by force. There's different ways to try to damage the sheep. But either way, they're illegitimate is the point. They come in a different way, but the one who enters by the door, that is the right way, he is the shepherd of the sheep. You can imagine if somebody was trying to go to your house right now who does not know you, they're not going to walk up to your door, put in the right key, that is the right credentials, turn the door and just walk right in. If somebody's trying to get into your house right now, they're sneaking around the back, they're looking for some ways, they're going to break through a window because they do not belong. But Jesus is the right one. He is the owner of the house. He is the shepherd of the sheep. And so in this analogy here, he, Jesus, he who enters by the door, he is the shepherd of the sheep. And so he's saying he has the right credentials as opposed to these false teachers. We think back, does he have the right credentials? Does he fulfill the scriptures? Absolutely. He didn't abolish the law. He kept the law perfectly. We know who he is by his word, by his works. They all testify that he is the Messiah. He fulfilled scripture. He was the one who was actually born in that little old town called Bethlehem. He was the root of Jesse. He was a descendant of King David. And when we press him up against the scriptures, he matches perfectly and nobody else does. He is the good shepherd. Now, this chapter is often referred to as the good shepherd narrative. When we get to verse 11 next week, we're going to see that he says, "I am the good shepherd." And I want you to know he is our good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Time after time in the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament, the Lord our God is referred to as our shepherd. Here he says he is that shepherd. He is the good shepherd, and it speaks about his deity. The one who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep, and everyone else is a phony. Now, to the shepherd of the sheep, verse 3, to him the doorkeeper opens, the porter, the one who opens the door, and in this case, that's the Holy Spirit. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. Just like the man who was born blind, he heard the voice of the Lord. He said, "Lord, I believe." His sheep hear his voice. His sheep hear his voice. Now, that's something that we're going to see and hear about four times. Do you hear the Lord's voice? Do you listen for the Lord's voice? Maybe not audibly. You read his word. You say, "That's the voice of the Lord speaking to me." When you read your Bible, you know that's God's word speaking to you and you're listening. He says, "My sheep hear my voice." The sheep hear his voice. And look at this. He calls his own sheep. He doesn't call other sheep. He calls his own. The shepherd calls his own sheep by name. God knows you personally. Calls you by name. He calls his sheep. He leads out his sheep. Verse 4, and when this good shepherd, the shepherd of the sheep, brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. And if you've ever seen a shepherd with his sheep, you don't drive sheep, you drive cattle. But sheep, you lead. The shepherd goes before the sheep and he calls them. And they hear his voice. They recognize his voice. In Israel, when the sheep are gathered, sometimes shepherds will gather together with their flocks and put them in the same place. And you're going, "Oh no, they're all mixed up. They're confused. Now you got them mixed and you can't unmix them." Oh no. Oh, the very next day, the shepherd will begin to go out to a different field for pasture and he'll call his sheep, whatever his call is for them. He may go, "Curly, Mo," and call them out. He may have a sound, whatever that is. He'll call them and all of a sudden, his sheep separate out from the other pool of sheep, and they all just come follow him, and they'll all go their different ways with their own shepherd. He calls them by name. He leads them out. The Lord Jesus calls us, and he leads us out. He calls us by name. He leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. Let me ask you, very important, are you following Jesus Christ? Or is he just some kind of checkbox where you say, "Yeah, I go to church on Sunday"? That's not what I'm asking you. Do you follow Jesus Christ? Is he your shepherd? If not, you've got some serious issues. They may be eternal issues. Do you follow the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, he goes before us and we follow him. Some follow him closely. It's interesting to watch a shepherd with his sheep. Some follow very closely. Some kind of follow at a distance. In fact, it's been known about sheep, while they'll only follow their shepherd, some are prone to wander. Yeah. And the shepherd will come back and he'll put a whooping on him. Not because he hates them, but because he loves them. That they would follow. Listen, the closer you are to the shepherd, the further away you are from the wolf. And I promise you, there's a lot of wolves. A lot of wolves in the world today. But it says here, they know his voice, verse 5, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Listen, Jesus is our shepherd. He is the good shepherd. And this is what Jesus was speaking. Verse 6, he used this illustration, but they, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, they did not understand the things which Jesus spoke to them. And so in verse 7, then Jesus said to them again. He keeps repeating and giving them opportunities. He speaks to these religious leaders. Just imagine this conversation. The man born blind, they're still in that area. Jesus is there, and Jesus would wear something very common. But these religious leaders, they were dressed up in all their robes and all the authority that they gave to themselves. Jesus spoke to them again. And he said, most assuredly, in other words, this is important. Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Now, what does he mean by that? I thought he was the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. What does he mean? I am the door to the sheep. Well, literally, both can be fulfilled when you see the shepherd who would lead them into a cave or into this area where they would gather together. And the shepherd would lay across the opening, and he would serve as the door so that nobody could access the sheep. He was protecting them. And the ones who would go through were legitimate, and they would be safe. And so he lay in the front of the door. He is the door of the sheep. Now notice this statement in verse 8. All. Look at it. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers. He's not talking about the prophets who came before him. The prophets were pointing to him and testifying about him, saying, follow him. The apostles, maybe you remember the apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, 1, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. They weren't trying to gather followers unto themselves. Everyone who came before him, everyone who ever came before me. Hey, listen, you know what that includes? All the false teachers that the scriptures condemn, that teach differently from the scriptures, that don't point people to Jesus. You know what that means? Every other shepherd, every other religious system is false. And the Bible clearly teaches that. That Jesus is the only way. That means, yes, Islam. Yes, Hinduism. Yes, Buddhism. All these other man-made religious systems. They're false. Everyone who ever came before me, they're thieves and robbers. They don't go in the right way. They don't have the right credentials. They climb over. They try to steal and rob and kill and destroy. But the sheep did not hear them. That includes these Pharisees, these religious leaders. Now, very important, really want us to focus in, verse 9. Do you see that in your Bible this morning? Jesus says right here, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Now, if you will, just for a moment, I want you to look up here and I want you to imagine this door. Jesus said, I am the door. And we all know what a door looks like. We see doors as an everyday part of our lives. And Jesus speaks in a way that the common man could understand. If he wanted to, and he often did, he could speak in a way that was so complex that it could confound these theologians and the religious leaders of his time and even our time today. But for the most part, Jesus spoke in a way using everyday terminology that you and I can understand. We've already just seen when he said, I am the bread of life. What's so hard to understand about that? We understand That bread feeds us, it nourishes us, it sustains us. And in the same way, the Lord feeds us, He sustains us. He is what we need for our sustenance. Jesus would say, I am the light of the world. And when the light is on, you don't have to walk in darkness. You don't know where you're going when you're in darkness. You don't see things. Jesus is the light of the world. He illuminates our thinking. He helps us to see the truth. And we can understand that. When the light's on, we can see where we're going. When it's dark, we're going to have a hard time. Jesus is the light of the world. He talked about water, and he said, if anybody thirsts, let him come to me. Jesus can satisfy our spiritual thirst. Amen? And so Jesus spoke in a way that the little boys and girls could understand as they go running right on by. Little boys and girls can understand Jesus. He spoke in common man, everyday language for you and I. He's the light of the world. He's the bread of life. He's that water for those of you who are thirsting for something that is true. And here he says, I am the door. I understand what that means. I can look through that door. If I walk through that door, I'll go into a new place, something new, something different on the other side of that door. And so you can imagine a door up here. Jesus says, I'm the door. Now, we can also apply some very basic interpretation skills. I know you say, Pastor, you always say, believe exactly what the Bible says. Take it literally. Yes. But some common sense interpretation skills. There's nobody in this room who, when we read that verse, you said, I had no idea that Jesus was made out of wood and that he's got little metal hinges and a metal doorknob attached to himself. I didn't know. You understand what he means. He says, I am the door. Something about this door. Let's think about that door just for a second this morning. I want you to think about the size of that door. The size of that door is very large. It is so large that everybody can come through that door. There's nobody that's hindered because they can't access that door. The door is large, and it says, if anyone. Bible says it this way, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, he's shouting it out to 7 billion people, whoever believes in him, they will not perish but have everlasting life. That door is very large. Anyone and everyone can come to that door and go through that door. But I also want you to see that the door is very small, very narrow in its source. And what I mean by that is Jesus is not saying to the world, there are a lot of doors for you. There's lots of different doors for you. That's not what he's saying. Make sure you understand what the Bible teaches. The door is very narrow in its source. There's only one door. And Jesus says, I am the door. Not one of many doors. Not the best choice of different door selections. But I am the door. And if anybody comes through me, he will be saved. Very narrow in its source. The Bible teaches that. You learn that as an early lesson. When Noah had the ark, there was just one door, and if anybody would get into the ark, they would go through that one door, and that ark represented God's provision of salvation, and there was one way to enter in, that one door of the ark. The Bible teaches that Jesus is that only way. Jesus himself testified. Now, this may offend some of you that say, hey, it's good for you. You go your way, I'll go my way. That's not what God set up, and that's not what God teaches. Jesus himself taught, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody can come to the Father except through me. The Bible teaches in Acts chapter 4 that there's no other name given among men, given under heaven, by which we must be saved but Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that he who has the Son has life, but he who does not have the Son does not have eternal life. Jesus says right here, I am the door. Everybody can fit. It's a large door, but it's very narrow. There's only one door. And then lastly, as we consider this door, I want you to consider the result of those who believe what he says and walk up to the door and then walk through that door. Do you see the promise of God right here? He says, if, that's a big word, if anyone, doesn't matter how tall, how short, how old, how young, how rich, how poor, doesn't matter your nationality, the color of your skin, your political affiliation. Right now, God's just saying, if you're here and you're listening, I have a great offer for you. If you'll hear my voice, and his sheep hear his voice. If anyone enters in by me, he will be saved. Didn't say keep your fingers crossed, do the best you can, and we'll see how it shakes out on judgment day. It's not what he said. He will, not might be, he will be saved if you will go to that door and go through that door, putting your faith in Jesus Christ, believing in him, just the way that man who was born blind did. You will be saved. What does it mean to be saved? It means to have all of your sins forgiven, past, present, and future. It means that by faith we acquire and obtain the very righteousness of God by faith. All of God's righteousness is credited to us, given to us, covers us. And all of our sin is transferred in return to Jesus Christ. And it was paid for in full on the cross of Calvary, where Jesus died for you. And he was buried and he rose again on the third day. And so he is the good shepherd who's able, listen now, he's able to make this great claim. I am the door. If anyone enters in by me, he will be saved. And I want to tell you, so glad 23 years ago, when the Lord knocked on the door of my life and he called and he said, now, I'm glad he gave me the grace and the courage and the wisdom to walk up to that door and to walk through that door and to be saved. I can tell you that I've walked through that door, and I can tell you on the other side of that door is salvation. He says, and you can go in and out and find pasture. That's the blessing of God, the relationship that we have with God. And now he's called us to call out to others who are on the wrong side of that door and to tell them to come through, that they can believe God and go to that door and through that door. Let me ask you today, have you gone through that door? I didn't ask you if you understood the door. There's a lot of people in the world today, they can tell you all about the door. It's amazing to me. They describe the door. They describe that door. They tell you what's right with it. They tell you what they think is wrong with it. They'll tell you all about the door, but they have not gone through the door. And it's just simple enough for everyone to understand. What is it we don't understand? Jesus says, I'm the door, okay? And if you'll go to me and through me, you will be saved. And mankind will sit there with the silliest arguments. They'll talk all day long about it, but they won't go through that door. I'm just simply asking you a question today, yes or no. Have you gone through that door? If you have, if you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, you've gone through that door, and according to the promise of God, you're saved. But you can be the smartest, richest, strongest man who knows all about the door. If you've not gone through it, you are lost. And you're not saved. And I want to tell you, I love you, and I want to see you go through that door. I love you, and I want to see you go through that door. And I want to see you be saved, have that relationship with God, that you might go in and out and find good pasture. I've seen so many people, even in the last week of an 80-year-old man's life, find that door just in time. Young boys and girls, there's one of the things I love about this church family. There's not a week that goes by where somebody's not walking through that door. Maybe a teenager, maybe an older person, different walks of life. There's not a week that goes by someone's not walking through that door and we just celebrate and praise the Lord. Have you gone through that door? You have to decide that before you leave. You see, Jesus closes with a comparison here in verse 10. That's our last verse. He talks about these Pharisees, and then he talks about himself. First, the Pharisees, these religious leaders, the false teachers. The thief comes to do three things: to steal, to kill, and destroy. And I know it seems like this world is offering you so much. It just tastes so good and you want to chase after the world. And some of these teachings that are not consistent with Christianity, you say, well, that sounds pretty good too. I promise you it ends in destruction. It ends in ruin. It ends in death. And because God loves us, he's telling us. You see, everybody who teaches contrary to the Word of God, everybody who teaches contrary to Jesus, everybody saying that they're the Messiah, claiming rights to lead, only Jesus is the Messiah. And so the thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy. Don't let it happen to you. Don't let it happen to your children and the one you love. You tell them the truth. And Jesus is that truth. And on the other hand, just the opposite of these false shepherds, Jesus says, but I have come. Oh, praise the Lord that the Lord has come. Amen. The Lord has come that these sheep may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. God wants you to have life. God wants you to have eternal life. The good shepherd wants you to have life, eternal life, and to have it overflowing. And it comes through your relationship and your walk with him. Everything else may sound good, look good, feel good, taste good at the moment, but it leads to death. And you can see the contrast before you. So let me ask you, which shepherd are you following? Whose teachings are you following? Are you following the Lord? Are you following Jesus Christ? Maybe you're here today and you say, well, I'm not really following anybody else. I guess I'm just kind of following my own self. I'm following my own desires. What I want to do. I'm my own shepherd. See a lot of that in the world today. And it ends in ruin and destruction. And I want to appeal to you today that Jesus Christ is beautiful and his grace abounds. And in him you find hope and love and purpose for your life. You find truth and joy. All of these things when you follow that relationship, when you follow the Good Shepherd. So may the Lord take these words which we hear today and sow them deep into our hearts that we may remember that he's the door that leads to salvation. And if you'll go to him and through him, you will be saved. But not only that, once we go through, we follow the Good Shepherd. Amen? Now listen, if you're here today and you know you've never gone through that door, I want you to make a decision. God is calling you to make a decision today. And in this time of invitation, I'm going to ask that you come forward and say, I'm going to put my faith in Jesus Christ today. I'm ready to walk through that door. I've had enough of learning about the door and talking about the door. I know what side of the door I'm on, and I'm on the wrong side today. I'm going to walk through that door. I'm going to pray, and then we'll have a time of invitation. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for this word to us today. I ask for your blessing, Lord. Through your presence, would you convict anybody that's on the wrong side of that door this day? Give them the courage and the wisdom and conviction and understanding to go through, just to simply step through by faith this day. Call them, O God, let them hear your voice. Bless this time of invitation, we pray in Jesus' name and amen.